من و تو هم خونی بچه ایرونی، خاک ما خونه ماست، عاشقش میمونی. وطن خاطر ما، وطن نذر و دعا، خاک دل دادگی و داغ دل بسته.
Forces sought to disperse protesters using tear gas, baton-wielding motorcyclists, and bullets. Ahmadinejad issued this statement.
The situation in the country is in a very good condition. Iran is the most stable country in the world.
All right, good evening. Welcome to Iranican Live, where we talk about cultural, social. I think I still hear this guy. What's his name? John Stewart. All right, there you go. He's gone. So, yeah, we talk about all kinds of social and cultural issues, sometimes a little bit of political issues. And last show that we had, about 2 weeks ago, we talked about election. It was before the election, and now a lot has happened. So, as Iranians, or Iranian-Americans, as whoever is connected somehow to Iranians, we thought it's impossible to ignore and not talk about all the events that are going on post-election. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the disclaimer that I gave you last time, which is we're going to present you with some facts and some opinions. The opinions are not at all representative of those of Iranican or of Radio Javan. In fact, they may not even be representative of the host actual opinion, because we need to cover all angles, and sometimes what we say is not necessarily what we truly believe in, but we want to give you those angles. So with that said, we're gonna dive into this, and what I'm going to do very quickly, I try to be fast so you don't get bored. I'm gonna run through the chain of events that happened that led us here. So only a day or two before the elections, Rafsanjani sent a letter to the Supreme Leader of Iran, and was very disappointed at the accusations of Ahmadinejad during the debate. So what happened was the day before the election started, SMS and text messaging was totally blocked in Tehran, at least we're sure, some say the whole country. Election day was Friday, June 12th. At 8 a.m., voting started. At 8:13 a.m., the Supreme Leader cast his ballot and warns of possible disturbance, which was kind of weird to hear, as if they were expecting something. Rafsanjani's wife cast her ballot and urges people to take to the streets in case of fraud. So reports of ballot shortages everywhere, although the interior minister said they have printed 57 million ballots and only about 40 million people voted. At 17, that's 5 p.m., there's news of police maneuvers in Tehran happening. At 6:30, there's an attack on Mousavi's campaign office. At 9:10, access to moj.ir, which is Mousavi's campaign website, is blocked in Iran. And at 10 p.m., polls closed. At 11:20, Mousavi claims victory because he's been informed that he's the winner of the race in his press conference. According to CBS, Ahmadinejad also claims victory around the same time. At 11:30, Karbashi ends his run of regular tweets on his Twitter by posting the following three messages and then disappearing for about 12 hours. First one says, "We're shocked as much as you are. What's happening is now truly unbelievable. Second says, we're talking to the Supreme Leader's office. Everything is unbelievable. You too must stay patient. Like us, don't take any emotional actions. At midnight, results start to come out. The Islamic Republic news agency publishes a news item that Ahmadinejad won the race and removes it later. So at 23 minutes after midnight, results keep coming in and keep updating. At about 3 a.m., Mohsen Makhmalbaf, one of the biggest directors in Iran, starts speaking on behalf of Mousavi's campaign. He is in Paris, and he said he was told that he should relay the message. And basically, he says that 20 non-military people attacked the office of the campaign at Mousavi's campaign. And later on, other things happen. I need to skip through this and tell you that what happens next is basically people are shocked the next morning when they wake up and see all the results, and results keep coming in, and it looks like a win for Ahmadinejad, and everybody is shocked. The town is quiet, and all of a sudden the first protests start at about roughly 2 p.m. in the afternoon the next day.
And then it's everything that you've been seeing on TV. Cars burning, buildings burning, people out into the street, people putting posts of YouTube clips on CNN. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit more. What you've been seeing in the United States and what you've been and what's been happening in Iran. I think that's arguably the most comprehensive thing I've ever heard being pushed in the U.S. media so far. It seems like the United States has been extremely mute on the issue insofar as what details have been arising in the play-by-play. We have a guest with us who may be able to talk to us a little bit more, however, about what our impressions on what's happening in the United States should be and how as Iranian Americans we may be able to act. Patrick Disney is the acting legislative director for the National Iranian American Council. He also coordinates a coalition of 35 NGOs working to promote effective diplomacy with Iran. He blogs quite frequently as well for NIAC at www.niacinsight.com. Patrick, are you with us?
Glad to be here.
We're happy to have you. I wanted to ask you a question first about what your take is on how United States officials and diplomats have been talking about the elections, particularly Obama, who made his third comment about the elections today, insofar as to say that Mousavi and Ahmadinejad may not be so different than we're all led to believe. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a smart tactic that the president is doing. It's been 5 days of unrest and this ongoing dispute inside Iran. Up until this point, the president has been absolutely prudent in the statements that he's been making while condemning violence and speaking out against human rights abuses. He's made it very, very clear that he's not looking to make the United States part of the story inside Iran. He doesn't want to be seen as the cowboy rushing onto the scene, which could very easily play into the hands of the hardliners or do more harm than good. Mm-hmm. So up to this point, he's been very, very prudent.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so on the federal level, we see a very cautious United States government. But as American citizens, Iranians have been very, very vocal. We have protests that have been happening around the country. How do you see that or how do you see NIAC's role in relation to that? Insofar as how you think NIAC could support protesters or the Iranian Americans in the country that are speaking up about the issue?
Well, with so little confirmation of the facts on the ground, we really still, to this point, don't know exactly what is and is not confirmed inside Iran, what is going on the ground. The reports that we're getting, and like you said earlier, we've been blogging nonstop for 5 or 6 days now, trying to get information out, which, in our opinion, is really the only thing that we're certain we can do to help. To get information out there is really the only positive thing that we can see. NIAC has has been letting people know about where these demonstrations have been taking place. We don't particularly, you know, encourage or discourage people to go to them, but we wanted to get that information out to folks because there are demonstrations all around the country and all around the world where Iranians, Iranian Americans are asking the question, where is my vote? They're not challenging the system in Iran. They're not calling for revolution or anything like that. They're saying, you know, you offered us this election with rules. Why don't you live up to those same standards after the fact?
And if I can just remind the members of our audience and our listeners that you are listening to Radio Javon and that you may participate in the conversation we're having with Patrick Disney and with ourselves by calling 1-888-RD-JAVON, line number 4, 1-888-735-2826, or by meeting up with us on our chat lines.
That's Iranican Live is their screen name. You can basically come on any of the main chat lines, Yahoo, Gmail, whatever. Just type in Iranican Live as a screen name and talk to us. Let me just introduce real quickly. Sabo was speaking to Patrick just right now. We have Maral with us right now and myself, Iman. Let's go on. I was actually, I kind of wanted to know whether, I wanted to know what you guys think as, you know, all of us, we're Iranians, we're living here, we're not inside of Iran, but it's a very powerful feeling. So what is, real quickly, what's your take, Sab, on this?
On the protests?
How shocked are you? That's what I'm trying to ask.
How shocked? I think this is one of the most, this is the biggest historical event in Iran since Hijrat Tir, and I think that that is no small matter. And we need to really keep up with what's happening because this can have a major influence. It will have a major influence on the way the United States interacts with Iran and other countries, as well as what happens within the country in the next few months. Is going to be very exciting.
Let me before we I know that Patrick can't stay too long with us, and before we let him go, I want to ask him a very quick question, and then we're going to come back in the next section and discuss this. And that is, do you have any suggestions as to which sources of news are the best sources for Iranians to follow? Because, you know, it's really crucial at this time to make sure that you get the right news and you don't get something that's, that could potentially put more harm within the country.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, with a lot of what's been going on around, reporters have been banned from reporting on some of this news. Their camera crews have had their equipment confiscated, and unfortunately, journalists have been detained, which is absolutely, you know, unacceptable. And so it is difficult to get solid information out of Iran these days. What has been sort of leading the pack of providing information on what's been going on have been a couple of blogs on the internet. We've been live blogging, like I said. Also, the Huffington Post has been absolutely at the front of everyone with constant updates, basically every couple of minutes, with new accounts from people emailing or Twitter. Twitter has actually been the single most reliable source of information coming from Iran over the last week. So Huffington Post, Andrew Sullivan has made it, you know, his cause celeb and even turned his blog green in support of Mousavi, and is getting, you know, very passionate about, you know, the information that he's trying to get out. The New York Times has a live blog as well. These are good sources. I can't say with any certainty how long they're going to continue this pattern of constant updates. But, you know, like I said, the only certainty that we have right now is information is good. And the more information that we can get out of Iran, the better.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, Patrick. It was really great to talk to you.
Thanks, Patrick.
And we're going to take a short break, and we're going to say goodbye to you and come back and discuss this more. You're listening to Iranican Live on Radio Javon. We'll be back. All right, we are back, and we are talking about the aftermath of the elections tonight on this show of Iranican Live on Radio Javan. Let me tell you first, very quickly, that the reason we're all speaking English today, there's no Farsi absolutely whatsoever. Is that a correct way of saying there's no Farsi?
There is no Farsi.
And that's probably why I sometimes ask people if I'm talking the right way, because I'm used to talking Farsi here. But the reason is because we want everybody to participate, all those younger ones who sometimes don't quite get it when we talk Farsi, when we throw in those big words. So we want all of you to be with us, stay with us, and talk to us if you can. And we've already given you the numbers. I'll give it again. 1-888-RD-JAVAN option 4. That's the phone number. And our chat line is Iranican Live. That's the screen name on Gmail, Yahoo, AIM, or wherever else you are. Now, the music in the background is called Saray Omid by Mohammad Reza Shajarian, who very, very interestingly came out and said that I would not allow the IRI broadcasting to broadcast any of my songs anymore. I do not approve of my songs being put on at this time, and I'm of the same people who were referred to by Ahmadinejad as khasokhar. How do you say khasokhar in English?
Troublemakers.
Well, I mean, I was trying for a pretty word, but troublemakers. Anyways, that said, I want to quickly get your viewpoints on what's your take on what's going on before we jump into the news sources. Maral, you haven't been talking, so start.
I know, I've been pretty quiet. I know, usually I'm the loudmouth around here, but I mean, this issue, to be honest with you guys, have really taken a toll on me. I mean, I really can't come here and be funny because it's a serious issue, and I actually got involved with the whole elections. Not to advocate politically in any way, shape, or form, but I just wanted everyone to vote, and I wanted everyone to get out there. And I really thought that, you know, Iran was going to be different. So even a month before the elections, the day of the elections, I literally sat and kept refreshing my page, kept in touch with my friends who went down to vote. I unfortunately couldn't vote because I was lacking my birth certificate. And anyways, when this all happened, I was just in shock. And immediately, I just wanted to do something. I didn't understand it. I knew something wasn't right. And, you know, growing up here and being kind of like the Americanized of the group, I just felt like this is something I wasn't going to take, like sitting down, basically. So I got on Facebook. I mean, Facebook I've just been addicted to, and I was like, we need to make a difference. Now, initially my reaction, like, you know, you asked, is just pure shock and what can I do? We need to, like, do something. We need to get the word out. We need to get people to speak up. We need to get people to talk about it. We need to get people to participate. Now, as, you know, it's been a few days and I've been actively involved in trying to get the word out, it's starting to take a little toll on me because I'm getting, you know, emotionally involved, and there's all these images and pictures and everything else coming in of what's going on in Iran. And it's heartbreaking. I'm sorry. It's devastating to see what they're doing, and what they're fighting for is we need, you know, what we need to do.
What do you think, Iman?
At the beginning, it was very shocking. To me, the results at this point are not as shocking as the other things that are going on at all. But kind of like more, I guess that night after I voted in the morning and went to work, came home, slept at 12:30, woke up at 3:30 a.m., and just couldn't sleep anymore. I was just watching all the videos that were coming out one by one, like in lifetime. And I guess producer's trying to tell me something I can't hear. But the other thing I was going to say was, actually, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to let you give us your quick take as well, and then I'm going to jump into...
Why did you wake up?
Why 3:30?
Well... I tell you, I was asleep, and then I guess my brother was not, and he was watching videos and stuff, and I heard the videos, and I woke up all of a sudden, and I came over and started watching, and I was on Facebook all night, and all day next day, and the day after that. We're kind of lucky, I guess it was a weekend.
Yeah.
We had a good briefing of the whole situation. Speechless, Saba?
I know. I had to do a lot of... I had to play a really intense game of news feed catch-up in order to figure out what was going on because I was out of town while all of these things were happening. I was actually in the wilderness. I was in Yosemite, and then I came back home and I realized that Tehran was burning down, which was shocking to say the very least. I think that this is an extremely powerful expression of organizing, which I think the last time that I saw this many people out in the street protesting was in the United States. Maybe a few years ago in response to...
I thought you were going to say it was the Iranian Revolution. I was surprised to realize that you were, you know, you were born back then.
It reminded me of May Day. It reminded me of May Day 4 years ago when you had hundreds and thousands of American citizens, immigrants, people all over the country come out into the street and protest the rights of undocumented people in this country. That's what it kind of reminded me of. And, you know, no less the revolution in Iran, no less many of the other protests that have been happening around the world in order to secure democratic rights. But I think that it's a really, really exciting moment. It's an extremely exciting moment.
All right. Well, let me jump into the news sources because this is very important, how the news is getting relayed to us and to the world. And it's interesting because I personally got all my news, at least the first 3 days, from Facebook. Mm-hmm. Facebook was blocked in Iran at some point, which I know, but I have to read. anyways, I think it was within 24 hours of the result, Facebook was totally blocked. So was YouTube, and a lot of the other candidates' websites, they were all blocked in Iran. And also
their newsletters, too. Mousavi has a newsletter called, come on, Greens in the
Kalame,
title.
Kalame?
Yeah.
Kalame News, and there's also Kalam News.
There you go. Also yeah. Blocked. Almost immediately, because the sentiments that he had expressed in those newsletters were not to the liking of the people who were...
And you know what else happened? That was very interesting. So what happened was the internet speed was cut by, I don't know how much, whatever, but everybody was complaining about very, very slow internet connection. Now, whether that was done, by the state or that was due to all this huge internet activity within Iran, I don't know. But all these sites very quickly changed their format to text only, just because they wanted people to get access to these news. And that was very interesting.
And people have been accessing news sources like the BBC or using Twitter or using any other number of normally internet resources by using blocking filters and other sorts of maneuvers that are more technologically advanced and sophisticated than the sort of filter blocking systems that the Iranian government has put into place. And there are also people in the United States that have, in fact, began to help Iranians in Iran by either telling them how to go through the filtration systems or dismantling some of the government's filtration systems themselves by hacking here.
And the last thing I would say about all these social networks is Twitter's record of tweet per hour was broken a few hours ago with 221,774 tweets per hour on this topic. So that's amazing. Apparently Twitter is the only source right now that's open, the only social networking website that is still not blocked in Iran.
Well, what was really amazing is just the fact that Twitter itself, the company, went ahead and disabled, or they moved their maintenance time so that it's consistent with the Tehran's time. So it's not, 1:30 in the middle of the night for the U.S. And that way they could still keep going because that was basically their only access to talk to anyone outside of the U.S. So it's not just people in Iran and people here. I mean, it's becoming such a global, issue that even, you know, as far as the media, they're not Iranian. I doubt that, you know, the CEO or the whoever's in the IT of Twitter is Iranian. But I mean, people are affected. Everyone is affected by this issue.
Yes, it is. And, you know, the other thing I was going to say was it was very interesting to see BBC cover this whole thing, you know. And BBC was blocked at some point in Iran, kept coming and going back. And now BBC has its signal running on 2 or 3 satellites. So in case you don't have it on one, you can get the other. But BBC, and then in comparison with Voice of America, and for us who are here, CNN, I'm not sure if CNN International is on is a network that people watch in Tehran or not. But I could easily say that there were different perspectives coming out of each one. I kind of found BBC to be the most, I would say, the fairest of the three. And then CNN, I did not like how they were doing this at all. CNN kept, you know, putting words like revolution. This is happening. It's a big thing, and people are getting killed and this and that. And I think those, I don't think that's, you know, good journalism. It seems like they were pushing something. And Voice of America about the same. It seemed like they had more propaganda going on.
Well, we have Manager on the line from Kansas City that wanted to say a few words about the demonstrations. And I believe you have a question, Manager. Can you hear us?
Yes. Hi, everybody. I enjoy your show, and thanks for taking my call. Actually, I just wanted to make a quick comment regarding the demonstrations in Iran, which I have a lot of respect for people who are actually putting their lives in the front line and trying to defend the democracy and the movement of democracy in Iran. But in the meantime, I also wanted to mention that I hope they realize the differences between the two Mousavi and Ahmadinejad, and what are we putting in terms of priority here. Definitely we need to, you know, promote and try to defend our rights in terms of the voting and all that, but during the last 30 years, we probably never had any kind of voting system reliable and free anyway. So I guess my point is that probably the root cause needs to be the target rather than the differences between the two, because what is the difference between the bad and worse here? So that's all I wanted to say, and thank you for taking my call again.
Thank you. Thank you, Manager, for calling in.
I agree and disagree. I agree that the root cause is important. I disagree that the voting system was useless all this 30 years, and it didn't matter anyways, because I think the reason all this happened is because there was a voting system, and if there was no, it's like all those people who didn't want to vote, they look at it this way. If nobody had voted, it would be just like 4 years ago, right? 4 years ago, Ahmadinejad came to power because people decided they don't really want to go out and vote. And they saw what happened, and now they came back in more numbers and wanted to vote. So it was a huge movement. When you have 82%, over 82%, some say 85% of the people voting, that's big. That means that means you're looking for change. Right. That means there's a big movement going on. And when they didn't see the result they wanted, then all the protests came out. Then now we are at the root cause. That's what took us to the root cause. So if it wasn't for this voting, we would never be here. We would never be questioning the integrity of the government, the integrity of whatever those organizations that are in charge of the election.
Or perhaps those questions would arise, but I mean, in silent quarters of somebody's living room or at a coffee shop or something like that, not in the same way where these elections have given the populace an opportunity to unite and to really vocalize a lot of concern.
Well, what's important also to realize is, as much as yes, there's a bunch of different issues that's going on here. And there is a root cause right now. We need to focus one by one. And right now there is an opportunity to be able to tackle one of these causes. And it's, I mean, for me, it's really important to stress that this isn't, to me, it's not about Mousavi. It's not about Ahmadinejad. It's not about any of these political figures. It's about the fact that we have a vote. We have a voice. And they took that away. And they can't do that. And the issue that comes out is that we need to tackle that. We need to stand up and say, hey, we have a voice here. We need to be able to get. Then from there, you know, that's, you know, then we could go into like the whole regime. It really, honestly, I will be honest with you, it bothers me a lot when people are like, we need to do the regime change. This is a revolution. Guys, this is, I mean, I'm sorry, this is completely my opinion.
Whoa. Revolution.
No. My opinion.
Hold that thought, Mara. We're going to go to break. We're going to go to break. You are listening to Radio Javon. You're listening to Radio Javon. This is Iranican Live.
And we'll be back.
بشنوی که ایران وطن من همون کشوری که بعد 7000 سال ایران سرپاس هنوزم دل ایرانیان دریاش تو هم وطن من اینو از یاد که باسه یه وطنم منم سرباز به دست پرچم ایرانو بگو نگین دست هستی ایران بدون اعتراض من میشه مثل گلول شلی بیا با هم بخونیم سرود ملی خواهر و برادر من ای هموطن در خطر همه ما ها سربازای زیر پرچمی نمیذاریم از ما بگه هر اجنبی واسه ما ایرانی ها ملاک هر نفره که روی گردن ما پلاک فر به هره اتحاد ما واسه دشمن استرابه اسم ایران واسه ما مایه افتخاره احترام ما به ایران یه خاره تو چشم ازایی که میخوام بزن از ضربه بهش
مثل تشنگی گندم به آب سمن نمه بارون بوی خاک مثل تو مثل چشم پاک بوی خواه وطن عشق تو توی قلبمه خوندن از وطن حس منه عشق من پاک میهنه ایران
میخواه برکی ما اومدیم از یه نسل وحشی پس یه نگاهی بنداز به تخت جمشی داری اسم ایرانو بجل و میدی که اسم تو بزرگ بنویسن رو جل سیدی دارم هدف تو دفترم مینویسن که واسه چی ساختی فیلم سیزن میدونم که دلت ساخته شده از سنگ و سل جای این که با هنر بسازی فرهنگ سل تو این تیرگی روابط هوای مهالود میخوای که ماهی بگیری از آب گلالود ولی به تو میگم اینو با زبان اصلی که ایران هرگز نمیشه تباه و دستی خدا به تو داده دو تا چشم بینا ببین کتابای سعدی و ابن سینا یا به فردوسی و خیام یا مولانا ما بالا بودی ولی یاس نمیتونه ساکت شه اسم ایران بازیچه یه مش ناکس شه هدف تو پاره میکنم با تیغ ایمان تو کی هستی که بگی از تاریخ ایران
مثل تشنگی گندم به آب حس من نمه بارون بوی خاک مثل تو مثل چشم پاک بوی خاک وطن عشق تو توی قلبمه خوندن از وطن حس منه عشق من
Okay, and we're back. It's Iranican Live on Radio Javon. We're discussing the aftermath of the elections in Iran. And before we went to break, actually, let me tell you that other than myself, Iman, and Saba, and Maral, who are the co-hosts, another beloved co-host just joined us. Shahid is here with us. How you doing?
Good. All right. Good.
And so you have been disconnected, or how connected have you been?
I don't
want to know
say
if we have to teach you, or
no,
we have to,
no. I can't. I haven't been disconnected. But I guess I have more apathetic views. Okay. I put it that way.
Apathetic. Okay.
How so?
Not. Okay, actually, maybe apathetic isn't the correct word, but
I'm confused.
Confused. Okay.
Wait. You went from apathy to confusion?
Yeah, confusion on why we actually
know?
Care.
What do you know?
No, why did we care from the beginning and why do we care now? Not why do we from a humanitarian angle, I understand why we care, but why do we care about the results of a sham election when I think that they were sham elections to begin with?
And when you say we, you mean Iranians? Americans?
Oh, right. And I personally don't even think Iranians outside of Iran should even have a voice.
Okay, here we go.
That's my
so
point.
So if you're not in Iran, then you need to stop watching the news. And maybe you should, you know, I don't know, turn on sports
or
something.
Are you
moderating
or are you attacking me right now?
A little of both. Okay. I want clarification. I seek the truth.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So, yeah, what do you two think about that? Does that make sense? If you're not living in Iran, then go about your business. Why do you even care?
No, I didn't say go about your business. I just said I don't think you should have a voice.
Oh,
basically,
no.
Basically, you shouldn't be able to vote.
Yeah, I don't think you should vote.
All right. Somebody once said if you can't write Farsi, you shouldn't vote. That was a little more acceptable than this, but I just totally disagree with that.
I don't agree with that either. There are plenty of people
in
Iran
Hold on, you guys.
Farsi,
hold on a second.
Vote?
What about those people who are Americans and they live abroad? And they have absentee ballots and still vote in, like, any American election. What makes the difference
that's
between
America.
Them?
I mean...
What do you mean that's America?
Like, what do you mean?
I mean, we're Iranian. I mean, don't we care about our country?
If I was an American living abroad and I planned on permanently staying abroad, I wouldn't vote in an American election.
Why would you not vote in an American election? Because you don't live there?
Because absentee ballots don't sway.
Hold on a second.
Election.
The country still uh-huh. has certain policies
do
and certain things.
Do you plan on moving back to Iran?
If things change, you never know one day.
I plan to move back to Iran
no matter what happens.
No, this year, three people that I know that are friends of mine have moved back to Iran. And if things were in Iran were different, where I could actually come and go as I please without actually being, like, scared or anything like that, yeah, I would. I haven't been there. I don't want to go with my parents. I want to be able to go like I go to Europe.
Okay. No, hold on.
But let me get back to your question. When I'm saying, like, if you're an American living abroad and you come and you want to vote on what's going on in your country, because that's still your country. You want to know, do you want Bush in power or do you want Obama in power? Do you want to change for the U.S.? You want to, like, the economics to go down? No, it doesn't matter whether or not you live on that soil. Mm-hmm. It's about how you feel about what happens, and when you have the opportunity, you take it.
Then why don't you feel this way about, like,
why
what happened
feel
to
this way 4 years ago or 8 years ago or what's 8 + 4 again? 12 years ago.
Because I, what do you mean? Why? Because I.
Because why is it this election, all of a sudden people are so proud and so involved?
I'll tell
personally,
you why?
Wearing green and
no.
Where's my
Hold
vote?
On.
You know what
no,
I mean?
No. Because there's a big, big thing here, Shahid. If someone came and they took your voice away and they said, "Hey, you know what? Those people are involved right now because they see." The lives, the way these people in Iran are putting
this
their lives
post,
up.
This is post this election. I'm talking about before. Like, before everyone's like, where's the polling place? Where
I could only
I
talk
vote?
About myself. I can't
Let
talk about
you.
Anyone else. I could only talk about myself. And for me, the reason why I got so involved, because this is, I've been so involved in Iranica and I've been so involved in the Iranian culture for the last 4 years that I've been more and more understanding of this thing. I have been advocating to go out and vote. I personally did not vote myself. And to be honest with you, I don't think I would have if I had the opportunity. But
okay.
It was important for me to stress the fact that, because I don't know anything about these. I can't even read Farsi.
But wait a second. Iman can. So what do you think?
I can what?
You can read Farsi and Farsi. Vote and God knows all else.
No, I've voted. So this is the first time this ever happened that people in outside of Iran could vote. Was actually Khatami put this law into effect. It was about 12 years ago, I would say, or whatever. So it was the third time I was voting. All these, every opportunity I had, I went out and I voted. And I feel very passionate about it. I feel it because, first of all, to answer that other question of yours, Shahid, I do want to go back to Iran if not, you know, in a year, maybe in 5 years, maybe in 10 years, who knows? Maybe I'll stay there forever. And maybe I'll stay there for 10, 20 years. I don't know. But I do, and I care. Even if I didn't want to go, I would care. Just because they're my people, right? So my family's there, my friends are there. And even if none of my family and friends were there, I still think they're my people.
Exactly. Would you expect that people that didn't have your background, say someone like myself or Shah, who grew up in the United States, should or would or could even possibly feel the same way you do about this issue?
I think
does it even make sense?
My opinion is if they're uninformed, they should not vote. If they are like, Mara got very involved all of a sudden. She was reading articles. She was reading about the candidates.
I was asking someone to translate.
Yeah. So this is an example of a person who I think should vote, because she started learning more and more, and she basically had, it was informed enough that she could go out and vote. But if you don't care and you're not following, no, there's no reason for
and
you to vote, because
you,
you're gonna, who are you gonna vote for? And how are you? What are you gonna base your decision on?
No. A lot of people are think they're informed, but they're not. They just ride the wave of a trend. I'm not attacking anybody here. I'm just saying I've seen it a lot. I've seen it in my peers, especially the. I mean, Moral is older, obviously, but the younger crowd. A lot of them just ride the wave of.
But then
they
about
need
that
to
right
well,
now.
Look,
I have a question. I have a question.
They need
aren't
to
you,
right
aren't
now.
You two, Maral and Iman, that actually have an investment in this, aren't you? Wouldn't you be slightly offended by the fact that somebody who takes this as a complete novelty would have the same say that you do, the same right that you do, mm-hmm. the same vote that you
not
do, and
all.
They go around and use it?
Not at all.
Throw it around?
Not at
not
all.
Even knowing who a Mousavi or a Karoubi or a... I don't know, an Ahmadinejad
okay,
might happen
you
to
guys,
be?
You guys just compared you two to Iman. Iman, who grew up there all his life, and you guys living in America.
Not all my life.
Half, oh, okay,
exactly
half your life.
Exactly half of my life.
Here, you guys, I've been
exactly
here.
Exactly half.
I've yes. been here for the past 25 years. I can't read or write Farsi. You guys speak way better Farsi than I do. Mm-hmm. And so, if anything, I'm not as Iruni as I guess you two, especially but, you, Saba. But look
oh,
how
please.
Involved I am. And I think people who don't know anything and right now are riding the wave, Damishun Gam. We need...
Damishun
right now, we need people to
dangerous.
Get involved.
I think it's dangerous.
We need people to get involved. Anyways, you guys are listening to Euronican Live on Radio Java. We are having a lovely heated discussion between Shahid, Iman, Maral, and Saba. Sorry, I can't say Maral, Maral. I don't know what to say anymore. You guys, we thank you guys so much for calling in. We have a lot of people waiting. We're going to get to you as soon as we possibly can right now. We also have people chatting with us. You can IM us, Euronican Live at Yahoo, at Gmail, Meebo, anything you can think of, Euronican Live in front of it. We also have, I can't even say this.
Phoenix Sun 02.
Phoenix Sun 02. Just IM'd us saying the revolution is coming. So thank you for that.
And that's how this segment was supposed to begin.
That's,
I
know.
Disagree. I don't want to say that word.
I don't either.
Unless
all right, I don't want to hear
if,
it.
If we're not taking a break, I want to start that discussion right now. And if we
can we go? 5 minutes?
Okay. So revolution is a very dangerous word.
Yes.
I strongly suggest no one to use that word.
Yes.
Why?
Because a revolution is something that basically twists the country inside and out, right?
Hold
a
on.
Revolution will destroy a lot of the infrastructure in the country. It will have a lot of go.
No. sorry. Finish your point, Iman. No.
This can be done without a revolution. People can, this is like a checks and balances system that just came up. Like for 30 years, people didn't have a very strong voice to check on their own government. Now they do. Now there's people's voice coming out loud and clear, and that puts the government in check. And if the government fixes itself, that's the best solution.
You're saying don't use the word revolution, but people are calling those who got killed during the course of these protests martyrs. How is that language any different?
The language mm-hmm. of martyrs.
Because,
the language
yeah.
of
because if you look it up, if
saying
you look up martyrs,
as a protest
no.
call. This is all
exactly.
very reminiscent mm-hmm. of the revolution.
If you look up martyr in the dictionary or in Wikipedia, my favorite place, it says one who dies for a cause.
Right, but
that's
the definition
yeah, but I mean,
of martyr.
To
but
say
martyr,
that martyr isn't a very
exactly.
loaded term
okay,
within
one
the
at
context
time.
Of Iranian
one
rhetoric, I think, is
moderator.
Just
one moderator. One at a time.
Oh, but I'm so
agree,
unbiased. Go
okay,
ahead.
I have a good response to you, and that is the martyrs is... Okay, the fact that they're called martyrs is not a problem at all. They're martyrs because, as Mara said, they're fighting for a cause, and none of their leader... And their cause is within the same government. Mousavi is within the same government, accepts the same constitution, and just wants to make sure everything happened constitutionally, everything happened with the real people's voice. And that's the difference. When you're talking about a revolution, you're talking about a leader. Whoever is leading that revolution is against the government, wants to overthrow the government and make drastic changes, and possibly rewrite the whole constitution, redo the whole government, redo the whole country.
Okay, I think it matters who. Who's using the word revolution and why? I agree with what you just said. Right. But who do you hear using this word? I want to know. Are you hearing your Iranian
CNN.
Friends? No. Okay, so when CNN says revolution, what does it mean? Versus, you know, somebody calls Nobat Shoma from Tehran after a protest and uses the word.
Earlier, you cut me off when I was about to say that it really irks me when people are saying, you know, oh, you know, this is a time for the regime change. This is time for a revolution. No. Right now, we need to look ahead to what's happening. People are dying. People are fighting because they want their voices heard. Let's take one step
at
a time.
So they want their votes to count.
They want their votes to count, yes. But I'm saying right now, it's not about a revolution. That takes so much more. That takes so much more time, effort. You guys, it's only been 5 days. In 5 days, look at the events that have happened up until now. It's unbelievable. Like, and honestly, like, I don't even want to use the word revolution. To me, it's like a forbidden word that shouldn't even go there right now.
All right. Last thing I'm going to say before we take a break is...
And some callers. We have lots of callers online.
Okay. Are we taking the caller before the break or after the break? After the break. Okay. Caller, please wait. We're taking you after the break. Last thing I'm going to say is to all those sub little groups of communists and monarchists who are still looking for their, you know, back in the day, 1970, whatever, ideas... This is not about that. This is not about that kind of a change. This is about the same government fixing itself, the same government becoming better and becoming for the people. We're going to take a break and come back. You're listening to Iranicum Live on Radio Javan.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man calls.
Okay, this is Iranican Live, and we are back. You can join our discussion by calling 1-888-RD-JAVAN option 4 or on AIM, Google Chat, Yahoo, whatever. Screen name is Iranican Live. We have Aydin on the phone. Aydin, can you hear us?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Good. How are you?
You guys can hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How are you guys?
Good, good. Go ahead. What's...
First of all, I just want to give my respect to you guys because obviously you're inspiring new callers and new listeners. And I want to give respect to you guys for the work you've been doing over the years, honestly.
Thank you.
Your hearts are all in Iran, and especially now you're bringing people together.
So, what's up?
You guys can still hear me, right?
We can still
hear
you.
Yes.
What's up?
We can hear you.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
So, here's the thing. As Iranian Americans, I figure we'll talk a little bit about America, right? First of all, we got to give respect to what they're doing in Iran, because if you think about some of the things that have happened to the American people here and certain truths that are known but no one talks about, you have to give respect to Iranians for standing up for standing up for what they know is the truth and what is right. Americans don't have those passions, and honestly, Americans could learn from that. But looking at what some of Obama's comments and some of his diplomatic gestures were, a lot of people have mixed feelings. Some people say he's doing the right thing by allowing things to play out in Iran. Other people want him to be more aggressive. I was hoping we could talk a little bit about that. And one thing I've been hearing a lot and seeing on Facebook, a lot of people using the certain pronouns, I, me. And I think that in the spirit of solidarity, these pronouns need to be expunged. There's got to be a sense of solidarity, and all we should talk about is we and us and our. The anger that the events are provoking over there is making everyone come together, and at the same time, there's been reports of people clashing a little bit, such as in Los Angeles.
Aydin, what do you think we should do as Iranian Americans here?
Well, there's a couple things. I myself have conflicting opinions because I see how Obama's playing it diplomatically, and yet there are times when I wish that other governments would send some troops to protect our people because it's savage the way that they are being murdered, and they have no way of defending themselves.
But you
and
do realize the fallout that would cause.
That would defeat the whole purpose of
these protests. I said you do realize that would actually the fallout from something like that would actually, it's like a domino effect. It would actually topple over.
But here we see people dying, and they're dying, I hope, for a cause in the end. But what is just enraging is to see people murdered like that, and they can't defend themselves. So I understand what you're talking about politically, but. You see these things happen, you just want someone to go help them.
All right, Aydin John, thank you very much for your points. Let me say goodbye to you, and then I have a quick response, and then we're going to jump into the main question in this segment, and it's almost 8 o'clock. In fact, it is 8 o'clock right now, but we're going to finish up this segment. What do we have to do here to be able to be helpful to Iranians over there, and what are these protests doing? All around the world and what they can accomplish. But my response is any intervention from any foreign country, especially America, would destroy this whole movement with two reasons. One is the current government will have the best argument against the people's movement, and that is, oh yeah, you guys are a bunch of Westerners following American, you want to put us under the American rulership or whatever else, and people will have the same doubts. People will question this. People will think, people are very afraid of especially the United States and a lot of other foreign countries that they might come and take over and take control of our country. And they hate that because they've been under control for years and years and they don't want that. So people will question this movement and they will split. And people will split and get out of it. So what should we do here? What as Iranians living abroad, what should we do to help? And I've seen the protests going on, and there were 2,000 people in San Francisco last night.
Before you go into that, I really want to reiterate once again that the views that we've been expressing on this show is not the views at all of Radio Javan or Iranican Live. These are our own individual views and also callers and whatnot. And to answer you, I, being very active on Facebook the last couple of days, I've been encouraging everyone to go out and join the protests and join in the Facebook being able to send the proxies and whatnot to whatever you need to do, especially to attend the protests. We need to stand in solidarity. We need to make our voices heard. We need to gather in groups of people. And I really am against like the little mini protests that's going on everywhere. I think if anything, everyone needs to gather in one place, work with each other instead of having one in San Jose, one in San Francisco, one here, one there, coordinate together to have this massive protest and just stand there in solidarity and stand there in silence and, say a prayer for those people who have lost their lives. And I think be active on Facebook, spread the news, whatever news you get, spread it out to your friends and let them spread it out as well. I think that it's really, really, really important to do that.
What do you think? Shahed, Saba, as Iranians here, what should we do?
Shahed, I want to hear this answer.
You know, I kind of want to plead the fifth because you're looking at me as if you want to kill me, Mom.
No, no. I actually really want to hear your opinion on what you, I mean, what do you think considering, you
Shahed's
know.
Like, protest the protesters.
Protest the protesters, right? No, I mean, protests are, what purpose do they serve?
It's to get attention from
to
media.
Get attention.
I think they've been purposeful. I think they've been purposeful. The fact that it gets international media attention, that you can like turn on CNN or turn on any major
but
news
why?
Network
I
and
feel
you can
like
see
this
protests
is just
in Berlin,
end with
protests
the...
in Sydney.
It's putting pressure.
In London, protests in
no,
Syria.
It's putting
so it's
pressure
deal.
On the
that's
cause, the problem.
It's putting pressure on the Iranian government to act. And I feel like when they act, it's just going to end up with more university students dead. It's just going to end up with more youth paying the price for our whims, our movement that's riding on the back of Twitter, Facebook, social networking sites. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to all be bored of this.
So what's
all
convenient right. for us could be deadly for somebody
exactly.
inside the country.
Exactly.
What do you think, Iman?
We have, hold on so 1 second. We have Hamid from San Francisco on his thought about the role of Iranian Americans or Iranians in America. Hamid can hear us.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead. What's our role? What do you think our role is?
I'm not sure, but I think you guys are kind of contradicting yourselves. I mean,
how's
on
that?
On one hand, you're saying you shouldn't allow the Americans to intervene, but at the same time, you yourselves are Americans, and you are essentially trying to intervene because you've already assumed what is going on in Iran. You've already taken a position on what should happen in Iran.
What do you mean by intervene?
Well, intervention, even if you look at Obama, for example, and you've already talked about, for example, how it's important for Obama to maintain a neutral position, not to, for example, back anybody because of the consequences that could have. Well, that in and of itself is a form of intervention. And you guys who are Americans, who don't know anything about what's going on in Iran except for what you are reading on Facebook and Twitter, have already made an assumption of what has happened, and you guys are advocating that position. And you've already even gone so far as to say, let's not call it a revolution, without even thinking maybe that the Iranians themselves are calling it a revolution. You've already thought to yourself, well, let's not interpret it or define it a particular way. I think Maral is the one who said, no, I want the Iranians to go step by step. Well, who the hell are you to allow it and tell the Iranians what to do?
All right, but
let them decide their own fate.
But the Iranian people are not calling it a revolution. If anything, they're calling it
velvet right. How
revolution.
Do you know? How do you know?
Because we're in touch with them every day and night. That's how. That's what do you think is?
But
what
that's guys,
Facebook
my point.
And Twitter
why
is doing.
The platform for this show is for each one of us to come weekly to give our own opinions and give our own stance on what we're doing. And it's not about. It's like for me to be able to say like the Iranians are doing this or doing that, it's because of my take and my stance from what I've seen and what I personally stand for. Ashad, go ahead.
So you still haven't told us what you think the role of Iranian Americans should be outside of the hypocrisy that sits in the Iranican studios, of course.
No. First of all, the two comments that were made right now were lies. One was a lie that says you know exactly what's going on in Iran because you talk to people, because you maybe have talked to a few people, but you cannot get a general sense of what is going on by talking to a few people. The second lie was the fact that someone's like, well, I'm just expressing my opinions on Iran again, when we know for a fact that you've expressed it in different forums by going to protests and so forth and so on.
But what do you think?
Put those lies
what do
aside.
You think? We're interested in you. What do you think,
what do you
Iranian
think the role
Americans
of Iranian
should
Americans
do?
Is?
That's the problem. The problem here, the only role that Iranian Americans really have, the difficulty that they have right now is to assure that there is no intervention from the United States. Beyond that, there is no other role for them.
All right, great. That's
I
totally
agree
with that,
Hamid, and I think that's
we're gonna say goodbye to you. And that last statement you said, I think, is nobody disagrees with that.
I misunderstood.
And that was
he's saying
should
there's
make
no
sure
role for.
Yeah, make sure that U.S. does not intervene in any way. And that's true. And we, I mean, when I talk here and I say what I think and I say, I don't know, the things about a revolution, whatever. I do not want the U.S. government to do anything.
But, right, but there's...
You call me an American. When I talk and I want to help, I want to help as an Iranian. I'm not helping as an American. I feel like my people, as an Iranian over there... maybe maybe or could use a little bit of my help, maybe by, you know, just relaying a few messages and news pieces here and there. Maybe they could help, but get some help there. That's all I'm saying.
Right, but there's movements of people writing to their congressmen, to writing to their state senators,
yeah,
to their whatever. I don't agree at all with that.
See, it's so funny.
Our previous caller just was talking about how maybe the U.S. government should get involved because of all the people dying. We're talking about lives being lost, and then there's this caller like, you know, we shouldn't get, you know, the U.S. involved and things like that. Every single one of you guys, including ourselves, everyone out there, we have our own opinions. We have differing opinions from each other. And this is where, you know, when this is an emotional issue. And this is where we need to, like, to kind of take emotions out of it, because then that's when battles and fighting starts within ourselves. You know, at this point, you know, we need to think about what we can do.
The Iranian people. I think you need to think about the Iranian people.
Iranian people. And you know what? I hate to say it to you guys. I am Iranian. Whether I'm Iranian-American
right,
or I'm Iranian, I am Iranian.
You're not on the front lines and
you're not
going to
die. Of course I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not on the front line. No, I'm not going to die. But there's sure a lot of things that I can do here that I, because I'm not out there. No, because I'm not out there, there's a lot of things that I will stand up for and I will do here to make sure that this stuff ends quickly and soon.
But going to... Okay,
going to protest, to me,
gets
is
international media involved,
that's
which
a
then
stance.
Pushes governments.
No, that's your opinion. For me, I feel like I'm making a difference. And guess what? With the thousands of people that were there last night, they feel like they're making a difference as well.
No, they're just finding meaning for their life. That's my opinion.
So that's fine. And that's your opinion. But guess what? People like you who are sitting at home, then and they're not doing anything about it when there's an actual change. Don't, you know, that's not because you were sitting there at home. It's because of people like me going out there.
And I would know that. No, actually, I don't think it's because, I mean, it's great that you would feel like you made a difference, but I feel like...
I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it because of them.
I'm going to cut this right down. We have Oscar from Tucson, Arizona on the phone lines. Oscar, can you hear us?
Hello, Oscar.
This is the last caller. Okay, so until if we get connected, I'm going to just... We need to wrap up. It's almost 8:10 here, and that's California time, of course.
Of course.
And I want to say, you know, we really don't know what's going to happen. Dima was correct there. We're not there. We don't know what's going to happen. But what was his name?
Yeah.
Hamid.
All right, whatever. Hamid, we respect you, but, I forgot your name. Oscar is on the line now from Tucson, Arizona. He's still not on the line. Okay, so there's no really concrete answer here, but there's a lot of good questions that we can raise, right? We can think about it. And of course,
exactly. Ask me.
There you go.
Oscar, are you here?
Hi, Oscar.
I'm here. I was a supporter of Mr. Obama. Okay. I'm a PhD student
in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, I'm in Tucson, Arizona. I was surprised today. You know why?
Why?
Because I've been in the United States for 30 years, correct? And I went back to Iran, and I lived there from 2005 to 2007, correct? And I met some friend in University of Tehran, correct?
Okay.
And today I received a letter, email from all these doctors from University of from Tehran. But they really shocked me, you know.
What did they say?
I mean, they were shocked. They were talking about this colorful revolution, right?
Okay.
Yeah, they're talking about colorful revolution, and all I can tell them is it's really up to them. You follow me?
Yes.
What they want, what really they want in their life.
Great.
Correct?
Yeah, thank you for that, Oscar. I'm sorry, no, we're really out of time. Go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry I had to cut you off because we're running really late. But people talk about green revolution, velvet revolution, colorful revolution, as you said. But the statement you made, I guess that was your point, is it's completely true. The people in there, in that country, are the people who need to decide what they want to do. And again, I express this. All we can do, in my opinion, if we want to do anything, is see if there's any way we can help them as Iranians, as human beings. We don't want any kind of government or any kind of other interventions.
One thing I just want to point out too is also, I don't know if I'm the only one who realizes this or people aren't realizing this. And as much, yes, the Iranians need to be the ones to make this choice. But guess what? I am an Iranian. And if my country was able to be the kind of country where I could come and go as I please, like my grandmother lives there half time, lives here half time, I would do that with her. I would vacation there in the summers and that would still be my country. So as an Iranian, I think that affects all of us out here.
That's true. It does affect us. Definitely. Shahid, do you have any last words?
I just want to tell...
Are you convinced that you should vote next time?
No, I'm not convinced at all, actually. All right. And I'm not even convinced that I should go out to protest or take any sort of, you know, progressive action or whatever. And I just want to tell everybody out there that when you think about going to a protest, make sure it's for someone besides yourself. If you're going for some type of self-fulfillment, to feel like you have, like, some type of, like... I don't know, purpose greater than yourself, don't do it. You need to do something to help the Iranian people and think things through. And I think that's my main point, and that's why I just get so frustrated.
Saba, you've been quiet.
I think this time I'm going to plead the fifth.
Oh, you can't.
We said everything you wanted to say, basically.
Basically.
Well, as always, everyone, please, if you have any comments, concerns, questions, or anything that you feel like we didn't cover or anything like that, please go to www.ironicanlive.com. I'm sorry, ironican.com. Send us an email, ironicanlive@radiojavon.com. If you know of any good sources, if you have your own just opinion that you want to share with us, blog it on our website. Once again, that's Iranian. Oh, my God, I can't talk. I'm so heated. Iranican.com. And, you know, we really wish everyone safety and prayers are with everyone in Iran.
Have a great night. We hope this ends in the best way possible, soon as possible. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Come on! Poetic, standing with the fury that they had.
what you reap is what you sow.